Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
First off, has everyone seen Jimmy's kilt?
Oh, yeah. I think you all have. Okay.
Absolutely. Beautiful, right? Jimmy's wearing the garment of his people. Lovely. Excellent. Those of you listening at home, Jimmy just did a lovely twirl. And to complete the visual experience, I'm wearing the traditional garment from my home state of Colorado, flannel.
Yeah.
Will somebody get us another drink?
Well, welcome to Jim and Tomic's Musical Theater Happy Hour. I'm Jimmy.
And I'm Tommy, and we are your only musical theater podcast with Manhattans in Manhattan and, wait for it, Cosmopolitans at Broadway Con. Yeah!
Great. So good. So good. Normally we spend like about an hour trying to work out
what they are. We just stare at each other through Skype and we're like, what rhymes with tap shoes?
Genuinely, it's most of the recording. But hey, here we take apart your favorite musical. We muddle them together with a shot of buffoonery and pour you a refreshing glass of musical theater conversation. I didn't look at my notes once for that.
That was amazing. I made him do it because I didn't think I was going to get all those words right.
Yeah.
So... most of you may know this, but in December, something shook the musical theater landscape.
It created a schism.
It really hit us all.
Amongst all of us, and yeah. I think it shook a lot of us deeply to our core. And we're only just recovering. The dust has now started to settle.
It's true. It's taken Jimmy and I this long to decide that we wanted to talk about it. Yes. But I think we're ready. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
We're going to talk about the Cats movie.
Ba-ba-ba. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to do it.
We have beer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, what are you drinking today, Tommy?
Hold on. Milk! Did I do that right?
Yeah.
That was my good Jason Derulo. Yeah. Ooh, if we say McCavity, will we disappear?
I don't want to try it.
McCavity.
Yeah, good.
We don't get to do physical comedy.
No, this is fun. Special effects. There's a reason why we don't get to do physical comedy.
Or comedy at all.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, we've had lots of people ask us to talk about it, which is funny. I think I'm finding this weird and weirder, yeah. Especially coming to things like this today and getting to meet everyone, of just like, oh, people care what we think.
That's wild.
About musical theater.
But very sweet.
Exactly.
So we talked about Cats years ago.
Yeah, that was episode 13. Yeah. Unlucky 13. Was it our fault? Maybe. Sorry.
As I recall, I didn't like it.
No. No. Has your mind changed any? Will we get to that? Actually, that's a question I want to ask you.
Yeah?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah. I listened to it again recently.
Because he likes the sound of his own voice.
I love it.
That's why we run a podcast.
Not although it was very poorly recorded back in those days. But I, had listened back, and I think we predicted what it was going to be.
Yeah.
What it was going to become, because it only just been announced. We knew that Tom Hooper was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We even said, like, ugh, I mean, he wanted Taylor Swift for Eponine, so it's never going to be good.
Little did he know. Right.
Right. We talked about the CGI.
And that it would be CGI, but it would be hard to do CGI with dancing. And so maybe they'll do some weird blend it. Like, so really, take this as an apology. We are so sorry.
This is us coming out and
so
saying really
sorry.
Our
fault,
are we
basically.
Sorry?
Well, so you saw
it. Or are we saying you're welcome?
You saw it 2 days ago, right?
I saw it 2 days ago, yeah.
How did you put it off for that long?
Because none of my friends wanted to see it with me.
Oh, that's fair. I saw it in a theater. I saw it in a theater with four other people at an 11 a.m. matinee, yep. And one of them stood up in the middle of memory and left and never came back.
You're kidding.
No, 100% true. Yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Which one? The first one or the second one?
The first one.
No.
There was so much movie left. And what a weird thing to stand up. Like,
they didn't even get to see Skimbleshanks. What a shame.
Is it?
Yeah.
So, okay. Jimmy sent me a message after, because they stopped playing it in Glasgow, in Scotland.
Yeah.
And so he had to see it here. And you said, American cinemas are so weird, and I want to take a diversion. What do you mean?
Well, you guys have heated seats, or this one certainly did.
You went to a theater with heated seats?
Yeah, had heated seats. You could recline. It was very leisurely. It was
maybe
it was
New York
really, really
theaters
nice.
Are weird.
Yeah, maybe. Well, the AMT on Sixth Avenue.
All right.
Yeah, has heated seats and they recline.
Okay. Okay. We put it off long enough. What did you think of it? Okay. Overall, like,
I can't sum that up.
But
okay, well, if I don't know who here out of interest has listened to
who's seen
our
Cats?
Episode
show,
on
show
Cats.
Of hands, Cats
oh yeah,
movie.
First of all, who's seen the movie?
Yeah, okay. Some okay. of you, this will be very confusing.
Yeah,
this is gonna be a wild ride. Yeah. Get ready.
Have you seen the trailer? Have you seen the trailer at least?
Yeah. Okay. You're gonna be like cockroaches.
Enough from that.
Be like cockroaches.
Yeah. Yeah.
So many with human faces.
Yeah. So yeah, and out of interest, who listened to our episode on Cats? Okay.
Okay. Cool.
So you'll know that I am a self-proclaimed Cats trash. Still am. Tommy, you're
have a
point?
Vendetta against Andrew Lloyd Webber, probably developing.
Yeah, that's fair.
He knows what he did.
That's fair. Yeah, I don't think you know what he did.
No, but he does.
Knows. He knows. I don't know where to begin, you know?
I know where to begin, and this might be a bombshell.
Okay.
I kind of enjoyed it.
Oh. I wasn't ready for that.
I kind of enjoyed it.
Me too.
Outro music, we're done. No.
Right.
Did you enjoy it for the right reason? For the reasons they intended? Me neither. Okay, good.
There's going to be a lot of stammering as my jet-lagged brain tries to catch up with the Cats movie. No, fair. I think what we should... Before we work out
okay.
how I feel about it,
sure.
right?
We should all take a moment of silence.
Yeah, exactly. No, let's... let's talk a little bit about movie to musical
sure.
adaptations,
sure.
okay? Because this, I think we would all agree, is a very significant milestone
yes.
in the musicals to movies.
Absolutely. I mean, world. Maybe rivaling Les Mis, the parallels are a lot there, but like such a stalwart and, you know, a part of the musical theater canon, long playing, yep. well known.
Singing live. Wow.
I did air quotes. I have to remember it's gonna be a podcast later, so I have to narrate.
I don't know. To me, this is like a flag post.
Sure.
Like something has changed, you know? And
yes.
Well, exactly. And I'm like, oh yes, okay, we've got In the Heights coming this summer.
Right.
But that's already set in stone.
Yes.
So nothing can change there. But I really am intrigued as to like what's the Dear Evan Hansen movie going to look like now?
What's the
Be More Chill movie going to look like now?
I don't know
now?
If that's fair comparing contemporary musicals to Cats, because Cats is from a different era.
It is.
And I think it shows.
Uh-huh. But I think, like, it's really...
I didn't even mean that to sound mean.
I know.
Usually I'm just sitting at home in my bedroom and I'm like, that was just a nice scholarly thing to say. And now I know what it's like when there are people on the other and they're like, he's so mean.
Yeah.
I get it now. I get it. I'm hearing my own voice for the first time.
Exactly. But no, I just think to me, like the kind of gauntlet, like Tom Hooper's thrown this gauntlet on the ground. It's been like, right, do with adaptations what you will. Because he did. Exactly. Because I think like we would have all said that like the Les Mis movie adaptation was kind of groundbreaking. Like they did do really exciting things. Thinking about Lion King, Into the Woods. Into the Woods is a great example. The Lion King was the one I was thinking about,
sure.
which was weird. It's just weird. Like they're just getting a little bit.
Well, I think it is redefining what a movie adaptation is.
Yeah.
Which part of that is kind of exciting to me? Like the ability to be like we can dive into this art form a little more. Mm-hmm. Compare it to something maybe, say, like Hairspray, which was, when we got the movie musical again, was a pretty faithful adaptation of the Broadway stage play.
Yeah.
You know, with slight tweaks here and there for cinema, but a faithful retelling.
Mm-hmm.
And like seeing a little bit of experimentation around, like, we're not so tied to the original, in air quotes, thing is exciting. Cats being a vehicle for it. And like doing the things they did is fascinating. It's very interesting.
I'm up for it. Because I feel like, right, with something like Dear Evan Hansen,
sure,
right, we know that's coming.
I'm sure.
They could go kind of two ways, yeah, right? They could go more like the novelization and go quite
sure,
by the book.
Sure, sure.
Or maybe they could think outside the box a little bit, like the actual stage show itself, mm-hmm, certainly did. Mm-hmm. You know, its use of projections, yeah, and how
do you reset that?
They change the visual of it. I'm like, that's interesting.
But here's the thing where, like, I think this is the thing that I meant when I said that mean thing about it's so dated, is Cat's narrative structure relies on an audience being present, which is why to make it a movie, they had to invent Victoria. Is that the white cat?
That is, yes.
Excellent. You
well done.
It won for the names.
Yeah.
We'll see how far we get through.
Yeah.
But like, she takes the ideological role that the audience normally stands in for in the stage play, which then subverts a lot of the intent of the show. And it's already three layers deep because it's a book of children's poems addressed to you, the reader, now transliterated onto the stage, now transliterated onto the screen with this stand-in for the audience. But then at the very end, Judi Dench stares into your soul as the audience and tells you that a cat's not a
she
dog.
Really does.
Like,
yeah.
It's not.
But right, I'm going to jump on that already.
Okay.
Meow. Okay. So I don't know,
uh-huh,
if the Victoria being the avatar for the audience thing was necessarily the right decision.
I agree with that.
Right. The whole film starts.
New cat, Victoria.
Right? You've got the crazy, like,
moon, whip pan down. We're just going to do the first, yeah, shadow cast of, yeah, cats,
exactly,
right now. I hope you're ready.
Yeah. I'm so British. Does anyone know Alan Partridge? Great. Yes, Will. Yeah. Have you seen the episode where he, like, does the whole of the start of that Bond movie? Anyway, it's irrelevant. It'll be in the
I'm
show notes.
I'm over here, okay?
Yeah, exactly. No. Are we going to have show notes? We'll have show notes.
Whip pan down. A, yep, car drives on. You see the feet of the only actual human in the show throw a bag into the alleyway. Right. And then this new cat comes out.
Yeah.
And then all the other cats come out. I'm like,
But before we get there, right, we see a cat get slammed into the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And then it's like, and you're like, hang on, I don't feel good about that.
No.
And then the other cats kind of like start attacking the bag.
Right.
And I'm like, hang on, this is dark. And it's like, it's very like jaunty and jolly.
And you still get that like plinky plonky from the 70s.
And you're just like, hang on, I'm like sad for this cat, but I'm also really excited now because Cats is beginning.
Right. And then this bizarre humanoid cat figure steps, yeah, out and turns to this cat lady in a bag that was just abandoned and goes, are you blind when you're born? And
you're like, exactly. You're like, that's not the question you should be asking.
Are you okay?
Exactly. Like, what just happened to you?
But so,
why did you get abandoned?
As my friend who I was watching this with pointed out, like, in the stage show, those lines are addressed to the audience, right?
Yes.
And they're asking, like, have you heard what a jellicle cat is?
Exactly.
Because of course you haven't. It's a ridiculous term,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then we get there and it's like, oh, there's a man over there. He doesn't know. And, like, yeah, it progresses. In the movie, they're talking to a cat. And so they're basically asking this cat, do you know what a cat is?
Yeah, genuinely. But this is it. Because I've my argument, right, for people who naysay cats, those awful people, I'm sure there's none in this
room. It's
me. Right, yeah, you. Is that it's the reason why they're like humans is because they're jellicle cats. And they're like this special kind of cat. And yet here is another one of these, uh-huh, cats. And they're like, well, you're not a jellicle cat. I'm like, but why is... Well, what is she then? Because, like, are there like other cats?
I know. I really get where, like, what are the other cats so in the suddenly, cat cinematic universe?
Yeah, like, so suddenly Jellicles just become this, like... Like this particular like street
is it,
club
is it,
of
you only
like
become a Jellicle if you've experienced tragedy, but then that's like the competition and like
yeah,
but the competition the isn't to become a Jellicle. It's
and
to
a lot
get
of them didn't
murdered,
experience
maybe?
Tragedy. Taylor Swift was loving herself.
I mean, I think she experienced tragedy, but it was different.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, my point being there, right, is that all of a sudden we're like presented with all of these questions. We're right at
right.
the start of the film, and you're being asked to just kind of accept a lot.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You're kind of
right
being
off
asked,
the back.
Accept these weird face cats.
Humanoid
with
cat
hands.
Demons.
But also accept this storyline that we're presenting to you. Whereas, like, in the musical, the whole thing is, it's like we're talking to you.
Right.
And we're inviting
it's magic to do. It's an expository, like, we're setting up the world of this thing.
Absolutely. But by addressing it to Victoria,
right,
you're cutting that off.
Right.
So now we're just kind of looking at these weird things
happening. But it's because they needed the narrative structure, because so many of the songs are sung in, like, different person, third person or second person or stuff, and in ways that rhyme that they knew later on they couldn't. They do it sometimes. They reverse it and, you know, I'm Bustopher Jones, and they re-sing about themselves. But sometimes it doesn't fit. And so they need this cipher for, like, a lyrical use.
But, right, how weird would it have been if Munkestrap just looked at the screen and was like, are you blind when you're born?
It wouldn't have been any weirder than the movie was.
Exactly. Yeah. But then you've got the audience on your side, and you're kind of like, okay, well, I'm along for this, right?
Right, yeah.
Because the whole point, right, this is, I can't believe I'm speaking this passionately about cats. Like, this has happened twice in my life. It will happen again. No, right. The whole point is that the Jellicle cats are, like, proud. They have this, like...
They're special cats.
Yeah, they're magical. And they have this, like, smugness that they present of just, like, you know, we are better than you. You're in our house now, and we're going to show you this story,
I don't listen to this musical very much.
I do.
And I caught this line for the first time. They talk about clerical cats.
Yeah.
What is a clerical cat?
It's got, like, a collar. I don't know. Like,
is it a secretary cat? Like a...
Oh, I always took it to mean like a cleric.
Oh.
Like a holy cleric.
I was so excited for Secretary Cat. I had this whole bit about, like, a cat at a
typewriter. I think
they do
have secretarial cats, though. Is that not one of them? Like, secretarial cats?
I don't know. Also, I like that we have metaphorical cats and allegorical cats.
Absolutely.
But skeptical. Really, they're not, because they're real. Anyway.
Statistical.
Yeah, what's a statistical cat?
We'll never know. Anyway.
What's
that? Schrodinger's cat. Yeah, he doesn't even feature.
Yeah, is he there?
We
haven't even gotten past the opening scene.
No, we absolutely haven't. But yeah, that's right. To be scholarly about this, because that's why we're all here.
Good luck.
It's Broadway Con. To be scholarly about this, I think instantly the audience is alienated. And I think that's why there's so much hate.
Sure, yeah.
Because there's lots of new faces coming to Cats and seeing it in the film, because people are like, what's this, you know, movie event of the holidays?
Sure.
Let's go see this.
Sure.
They've never encountered these guys before, and they're not being welcomed in to the world of the Jellicle Cats.
Yeah. I don't know
That's
if there's
a shame.
I don't know if there's a way to do it, though. Like,
just face the screen and say.
Yeah, but it's so scary when Judi Dench does it at
the
end.
The thing is, right, I'm putting my pen down. Okay. I'm picking it up again. I love...
Narrate more of your life. He's holding a microphone.
Exactly.
He's seated.
Right. The filmed version is incredible, and it feels like a movie, right?
Yeah, sure.
What are they doing?
When
they're
add
talking
some,
to the screen.
And they add some special
it.
Effects in too. But I think that's the thing, is it's written where you still... Like, they made... I guess you're right. They made a bunch of wrong choices there that help the stage version feel more welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, when you go see it on stage, you know they're humans in makeup. And, like, the suspension of disbelief dial doesn't need to go as far or maybe further. I don't know. I was never very good at math. I need a statistical cat.
Yeah, you too.
But because you know they're in makeup and they're people and they're dancing and, you know, that's less off-putting somehow. But because they dove so far into the, like, uncanny valley deep end with the fur and the green screen and, like, all the stuff that, like, then you don't have that separation of, like, oh, this is a performance. You're like, am I tired? And then on top of it, the story thing they're trying to tell you at the beginning is we are cats, and you're sitting there in the audience and you're like, no, you're not. I've seen a cat and that's not what they look like.
But they're saying they're Jellicle cats.
Is that what that's terrifying.
That's what they say.
Am I going to turn down an alleyway in London and see, like, a bunch of humanoid cats dancing at me?
You absolutely will.
I'm never visiting you.
No, that's fair.
Ever.
That's fair. No, I just, yeah, to me, I think that would have worked. And I think that would have changed a lot. I think people would have been a bit more accepting of the weirdness.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary, and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's The Original New Musical from Shana Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.
Let's talk about the weirdness.
I think a lot of it comes from the CGI.
Yeah.
And like in a way that it makes me dubious of the entire thing.
Right. I don't know anything about CGI, okay? But I know that was bad.
Sure. Yeah. You can tell. That's the problem, right? If you can tell, it's not great.
There was lots. So I've played Pokemon Sword and Shield, okay?
Yep.
There's a lot of bad in there too, okay?
That's not... Okay, keep going.
Right, no, I do have a point. I have a point.
You know they don't like hire Judi Dench to like put on a ping pong ball suit and like pretend to be Meowth and like.
Oh my god, they should. That would have been better. No, the point I was making there. My opinion about the new Pokemon game. Sorry if you don't play Pokemon. Tangent. is that there was no care taken over it.
Sure.
Right? And they've got some really just stupid things that were like to me,
right.
Knowing so much about CGI, would be just easy to fix.
Sure.
Right? There's blatantly obvious things that are just incorrect. And I'm going beyond the Judi Dench hand.
Right. No, like they're skating around on the... I watch plenty of CGI videos on YouTube.
Right.
And, you know, VFX artists react to good and bad CGI. So I'm an expert, basically.
Okay.
And I stayed at a Holiday Inn last night. Can you... you don't understand American commercials from 20 years ago. That's fine.
Sorry. Just outside my wheelhouse.
Like, you know, you can see their feet sliding around on different surfaces. Like,
the feet? I mean...
Well, right. So, but here's what I mean why I'm so dubious and I don't trust it. Like, did Judi Dench kick her leg up in the air or was that CGI?
So I think she kicked her leg up in the air.
Okay.
Right? I'm going to...
That wasn't a CGI Dench leg?
I don't think so. So okay. Right. Before we move on to like the treatment of like the motion capture stuff.
Sure, sure.
Just the general, like, there was one scene, I think it was in Rum Tum Tugger.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Where Jason Derulo was dancing with Lay Twins. I don't know what I'm saying. And none of them were making contact with the pavement.
Right, right.
And I was like, hang on, I'm noticing this in the first watch.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
How have these editors not been like, oh, we should really fix that?
Well, and it's a show that's lauded for its, you know, groundbreaking choreography. And like...
Right, okay, so this is it. This is Jimmy's beef. Right. What? Oh, actually, a note about beef. Okay. In the addressing of cats at the end, I can't remember what the note is. I think it means, and that's how you address a cat. And
right,
they all,
everyone
like,
sings
look
along.
Up,
yeah,
and then
and
you
extend
see this massive
yeah.
Shot it's, of this hotel, and it's the Hotel Bovril. Mm-hmm. Who here...
Is this a UK thing?
Yeah. Who
no
here
one.
Knows what Bovril is? Thanks, Will. resident UK. Okay, so Bovril is a beef drink.
Ew.
Yep. It's not the name of a hotel. At the end of the film, they just have this big celebration of Bovril.
And they point at beef drink hotel?
Yeah. I didn't get it.
I did. Well, I now don't get it.
Exactly.
Look what you've done.
Yeah.
I did get it, and now I don't get it.
Yeah. Anyway, back to my beef. So... They, the cast that they assembled is incredible.
Such a great cast. Yeah.
It's incredible. Rainbow Wilson aside, but that's just my personal preference.
She's going to walk in right now.
I know, I'm sorry, Rainbow. Because I'm in America, so she's like here.
I know, she's here.
Oh, no, she's Australian.
Oh, shoot.
Anyway. A fantastic cast. They've got, like, literally the prima ballerina, I think, of... I don't know, the big UK ballet company.
Right.
Technical. she's sensational. They've got Lee Twins, like literally two of the biggest hip-hop dancers. Jason Derulo, he's fantastic.
Judi Dench,
Ian McKellen,
like...
very much known for his dancing. right? You know, they've got, what's his name? I wrote it down because I knew I'd forget. Oh, Robbie Fairchild.
Yes.
Right? American in Paris. He's one of us.
He's fantastic.
And yet... So, we know that they're all dancing. We
right.
know that's happening. And yet, because of this digital fur technology, right, we don't get to see it. We
right.
don't get to enjoy it. Because
or even if it is 100% real, like, you don't believe it. Because you know so much of it is fake.
Exactly. And it's so... And the thing is, it's like they change like little subtle things that you're like, that isn't them, that's the CGI.
Right, yeah.
Right? And it's just really disheartening because it pulls you right out and you're just like, you're not showing the dance. Like, yeah. They've got these incredible dancers,
yeah.
And you're not showing off. To me, the whole point of Cats is the dance. Yeah. That's where the storytelling is.
And they
is.
Do. I think the most successful number in the whole movie, well, I don't know. I think one of the most successful numbers is Skimbleshanks.
Absolutely.
Because it's tap dancing and because he's wearing shoes. Side note, some of the cats wear shoes. One of the cats wears pants. Some of them wear coats. How does clothing work? Apparently you can wear skin over your clothes.
Yeah. It's we don't ask those questions.
Yeah. I just did anyway.
I know. No, the one that got me weirdly, yeah. Just the one. I accept everything else. The one that got me. They have it in the original show. They all sometimes wear items of clothing.
Sure, but Rebel Wilson doesn't unzip her skin.
Yes,
to
she does. Thank you. She absolutely does. She does, and then it's all the tassels. She goes from like being cute, cute, cute.
You're right.
She's da da da, and tassels and tassels.
Literally, it's oh gosh.
Exactly.
I suppressed
Don't
this
you
memory.
You come for me about cats,
I
Thomas.
I suppressed this memory.
Exactly. Memory. No. So
stop it.
Where was I? Tap dancing.
I don't know. We're talking about clothes and skin and dancing.
Oh yeah, the one that got me right was Bustopher Jones wore his top coat, and then he was like, I'm gonna eat now, so I'm gonna take off
his top coat. And did he
doesn't do that in the show.
I couldn't remember, did he have a bow tie on, like an actual bow tie on before, and then have like a fur bow tie under his bow tie on his vest? Why wear the first bow tie?
That was a weird choice. That's the one I'll give you.
Okay, sure.
That didn't make narrative sense.
That number made me so uncomfortable, watching James Corden eat giant food. I think that made me more uncomfortable than the cockroaches.
I was fine with it. I was totally fine with it. Anyway, where were
we
talking about?
That's all we have to say about
yeah,
that.
That was that. No, the dancing. What, is that where we got to?
Sure. I'm going to move us on. What do you think about Beautiful Ghosts?
Okay. So here's why it doesn't work. First of all, it's not written by T.S. Eliot. It's written by Taylor Swift.
I know. Well, no. It's written as by Taylor Swift and Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Right,
that's how it's credited.
What? Yeah. But so he wrote the music.
Okay.
Apparently this is how it happened. So he had come up with a melody.
Sure.
She listened to it and apparently like in an instant was able to just like write down this whole
song.
So
it's draft
one. That's
exactly
what happened. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
But she was, she kind of talks about how like, oh, you know, T.S. Eliot speaks in such a particular language, and she really tried to emulate that. And if you can't have T.S. Eliot, then you move on to the next best thing. Literally,
the
her
next
words.
T.S.
The next T.S. And I was like, did Taylor Swift just compare herself to T.S. Eliot, the world famous poet?
I think so. When I looked at this song again, I thought it sounded like that improv game where everyone makes up one word at a time. And then the next person has to make up the next word. Listen to it again and like keep that in your mind. It's what I pictured. I'm glad you knew how it was actually written because I pictured was Andrew Lloyd Webber and Taylor Swift both sitting at a
just
piano.
Just like having fun.
Well, and one is like beautiful and the other one goes
ghosts.
And then they just go back and forth like that.
Good one. Yeah. Yeah. Probably.
That's probably how it happens.
Yeah. But no, the reason why I don't think it actually works is because, and you'll hate me, but it's because it's narrative.
Ooh,
right?
Fair.
It drives the narrative, and then it feels jarring.
Because nothing else drives the narrative of this show?
Right, exactly.
Is that what you're saying? Is that what I just...
All right, yes.
See, I agree, and it does feel like you know, you have to like pull teeth to get any plot out of the song anyway, but it does feel like Victoria is saying to Grisabella, like, your life's hard, but I just got thrown in an alleyway. Like, you know, and you're saying to, like, clearly the cat that's going to be the sad cat that's going to fly away in the balloon at the end of the show. Yes, it happens, those of you who haven't. Into the air, in a chandelier.
I wanted it to be Skimbleshanks. I was like, he deserves it.
There's another
best
podcast on our network called The Wrong Cat Died. We can't go
into
this too
true
much. Listen to it. It's great.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's undermining one of the core tenets and plot points of the show and of the only song that people like, Memory.
Yeah. And this, so this is, again, like, this goes back to my, like, my main problem is, like,
right.
Victoria just doesn't work because you're adding, you're suddenly, this will sound bad, but you're, like, you're adding plot to Cats.
And it does sound bad. You're right.
It doesn't need it because it's already so
well,
good.
I think it... Well, but... So, okay. I was about to say I think it needs it, but I think one of the biggest problems of the adaptation of this movie was they tried to, like, square the plot. They, like... You know, it's like you had a pile of paper that was Cats and you tried to, like, neaten it up to give it nice square edges. Like,
yeah.
They spend a lot of time being like, no. Judy Ronamy is here to, like, choose...
Judy,
like,
Ronamy.
Did you like that?
Did you just do that?
No, I've been working on that for a while.
Okay.
Is just here wow. to, like, America's Got Talent, like, which cat gets to go to the upper
atmosphere.
Yeah,
she even called them contestants. I was like, hang on.
Yeah.
That's not what it's about. It's wholesome.
And, like, I think one of the successes of the stage play is you're like, they're like, is there a plot? Is there not a plot? Oh, I got it. And, like, that's act two.
Right.
Is there an act two?
Tommy, do you realize what you're doing right now?
What?
You're defending the musical
Cats. No.
Cats.
Well,
I've done it. I knew this day would come. Yes.
This is when I transform. I've been Andrew Lloyd Webber this whole time.
But no. Right, if I can say one big thing about the movie,
yeah.
is that it made me fall in love with the musical 10 times
yeah,
more.
That's fair. It does make me realize the things I like about the stage musical.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm trying this new thing in 2020 to like things more.
Oh.
So
the podcast's gonna get really boring now. Just start liking things.
I started it with Cats the movie, so we're not
yeah,
off
that's
to a
true.
Great start.
That's fair.
Yeah. Beautiful Ghosts.
Beautiful Ghosts. So what are your thoughts?
You'd clearly put in as like an awards season contender.
Good luck.
Well, it's like not been shortlisted anywhere. I know. It's sad. It's not sad.
It might win a golden raspberry.
This show is going to sweep the raspberries.
I think it's nominated for 5.
That's the thing I want to talk about. It's already happening. Like we're watching the birth of the new Rocky Horror. Like there are going to be...
Don't do that.
It's going to happen. Mark my words. That. This is the moment. Like this, we are going to see nighttime rowdy shadow casts of Cats.
I'm into it.
It's already happening. You can find, and like, I saw a video the other day of like a big Judi Dench cat head that like lip synced along to like, a cat is not a dog. And then there was a big hand with a ring on it that came out. Like, it was so funny. It was so funny, like...
Yeah, okay. So we're, like, seeing the birth of a cult.
Right, and it needs to, like, die a little bit first, otherwise I think we're going to jump on it too quickly.
Yeah.
But, like, and I think that's going to be, like, 3 months. Like, you know, this summer, playing at an Alamo Draft House near you.
Yeah.
Rowdy Cats.
Yeah.
Shadowcast, probably
Shadow
by
Cats.
Us.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Shadowcast.
Shadowcast.
Trademark now.
I'm gonna write that down.
Write it down. Shadowcast. All right, yeah. He wrote it down. Those are squiggles.
Great. Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, it's one of those things, though. I want to see it again.
I know, because that's the thing, right? And this is the thing that I think makes a cult classic like this. Like, in Rocky Horror... they had some Easter egg hunt on stage, and this is where the term Easter eggs in movies comes from.
Right.
And so they had an Easter egg hunt just as a cast, but a couple Easter eggs show up in some shots because they lost them. And that's where that term comes from.
I didn't know that.
Like, Rocky Horror is successful like this because there are so many, like, stupid, subtle things in the background. And also, I think Rocky Horror is better. But the Cats, for all of its things, it's not bland. Like, there's a lot going on.
I was never bored.
Okay.
That's a good review, isn't it?
Rotten Tomatoes. I was never bored. I was always
probably the best review that they will have received.
I was always wondering what was going to happen next, and I've seen the show before.
Yeah, because...
Did you... This happened to me. I forgot about Taylor Swift until she showed up.
What, as in you forgot that she was going to be in it?
I forgot she was going to be in it, and then she came down on the moon like Mame. And then I was like, oh, God, it's
I love
Taylor
that
Swift.
Reference. You know what I mean? That's really what Tom Hooper was intending at that point. Was, yeah, this is Mame. If only Taylor Swift sang Bosom Buddies.
I want to see a CGI
with
enhanced
Judi Dench.
Mame, but with digital fur technology. I don't know what that would look like, but...
It's going to happen. That's what I was saying. Movies to musical adaptations.
This is the turning point you're
saying? Yeah, this
digital
is it.
Digital for technology.
On everything. On everything from now on. Sorry, I jumped over your
What
point.
Do you want to talk about now? Talk about
I know. What I do want to talk about is I'm going to continue. I've got a little list here written, my gripes. It should be my beef.
How? You keep saying that word.
Yeah, that's the thing.
How many gripes do you have?
A few.
Okay.
My main one, and I think we'll all agree, what the hell happened to Mongo Jerry and Rumpelteazer? Right? Right?
You have to explain this to me because okay. I'm not Cat's Trash like you. And I've seen people, I have seen people like sigh on Twitter and go, the London version. And the like, London I don't version. Understand what that means.
Right. The London version for us Cat's Trash, it's like, it's one of those like, it's the holy relic. You know, you're just like, oh, it's there. Yes, it's where it came from. And that's important.
Sure.
Right? And you learn your lessons from it and you develop them and okay. you make things better. Like they did with the song Mongo Jerry and Rumpelteazer, which is honestly, I said it in the last podcast, I'm going to say it again. It's one of my favorites in the show.
Okay.
It's
okay.
so good. It offers up so many good opportunities for dancing.
Yeah.
Vocally, it's a lot of fun. And I don't know who it was, but someone decided to poop all over that. Whoops. and ruin it and bring it right back to the original London version, and I genuinely don't know why.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I don't know why. Like, there's, it's not better.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do it in the revival, so they're like, well, this is the one that people are going to be most aware of. I don't get it. It was awful.
I mean, do you think it is a tone deafness about, because this doesn't seem like a movie that was made for self-proclaimed Cat's Trash. Like, this wasn't a movie for the fans.
No.
Or if it was, it was misguided.
No.
Because of, the things they changed weren't the things that people wanted, or the changes they changed back clearly were things that people didn't want. Like,
right.
Do you think it comes from, a tone deafness there, or,
Well, the only thing I can think of is that it just, the people that they had playing the parts couldn't sing it? I don't know, because it's quite, it's so one note the whole way through.
Yeah.
But the other version isn't that vocally extravagant. I don't get it. And I was really sad. I was really, because they're my favorite.
Did you cry?
No, but I kind of did a sort of a
face. Yeah, would have been the moment you walked out with that lady who walked out during memory?
Yeah, exactly.
That would have been my screen.
No, because I was enjoying everything else.
Jimmy, what would you do if you walked into your bedroom and a cat was wearing your pearls?
It's a question I ask myself a lot, actually. I would play. I would dance alongside her, and I'd be like, you know what? You do you. Okay, that's what I would do.
All right, good. I'm just glad we cleared that
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What I will say, and I think this might be dangerous in acerbic.
More dangerous than the things we've said so far.
But I must say, Mongo Jerry was kind of handsome.
This is a thing, though. Not just with Mongo Jerry, but
there's something about it. I don't.
God, there and.
People are like,
some
oh my
of the
God.
Cats are sexy.
There's something right. It's not, but it's not sexy. You're not like, oh, good, it's a cat. That's not where I'm coming from, right? I was like, he's got a handsome face,
sure,
and then you're like, oh, but everything else, I don't know how I feel about that. You know,
I felt that because it's dance and it's fluid, and there is something, you know, evocative or erotic about this, and certainly about the original production, right?
Very sexual, yeah, absolutely.
But something about this one made me uncomfortable about all of it.
Well, yeah, because it's like you shouldn't really find that attractive,
right? Maybe, I mean, not to shame or anything.
It's like that moment in Community, you know, where Dean Pelton sees the Dalmatian picture and is like, I hope this doesn't awaken something in me.
Yes.
Had that thought.
It does feel like
briefly,
that when you're watching the thing.
Very briefly. And I'm still hoping. I think we'll be okay.
Okay. Take two and I'll check in the morning.
I still find the one from the filmed version more attractive.
Fair.
So I think we're safe.
It does.
Because he's a human.
I had this thought, whenever any of the ones wearing a coat take off their coat, this is where the metaphor falls apart. Because if they wear clothes in the stage version, except apparently, as I've recently been forcefully reminded of in the case of Jenny Annie Dots.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Sorry.
Well done for just remembering that, though.
Benny Dots.
Yep.
The rest of them, if they're wearing a vest, they keep the vest on. If they're wearing, whatever, there's not a lot of, clothes removal. Does that track? Am I remembering that right?
Yeah, there's
from
not
the
a lot
version?
Of, yeah, that's
right?
the only
but
clothes
But pretty much
removal.
every character that has, a weird fur coat over there, when Jason Derulo takes off his coat to sing
When Idris Elba gets
Idris
naked.
Elba. Yeah, right, gets naked. Like, it's and it really feels disturbing. Like it gets naked, and it's really uncomfortable.
It's really, really disturbing. That wasn't right.
Because cats are naked. Because they're cats. Because unless you're like, it's Halloween.
Yeah, you're fine with it up to that point, but then...
But because they're like human cats, like, it's that weird uncanny...
But I don't know whether it was because, like, his mocap suit was, like, particularly tight.
Sure.
Like, yeah. And it was just, like, revealed a bit much.
Did you think you were going to spend your first live show at Broadway Con talking about Idris Elba being naked?
No. All right. I think is the answer to that.
And that was my second question.
And we'll move swiftly on there. Okay, the other thing, another gripe, is the way they treated the music.
Okay, what do you mean?
So I think the music's great.
Sure.
I really love it. The songs are fab.
We all have our opinions.
There's some really, really amazing harmony. Mm-hmm. But because of this whole Tom Hooper singing live thing, you weren't really there for the musical enjoyment of it, especially because we had a lot of dancers who can sing.
Sure.
As opposed to like predominantly like
talent to capitalize on.
Yeah. So it's trickier than to kind of get on board with the singing. Like one of the ones that really got me was Mistopheles,
okay,
who just kind of sprechazang the whole thing.
Yeah,
and
which
I was like,
was more of a character choice because they kind of like modified.
Yeah, but it's a really good song,
right? And people have issue with that modification,
right?
And there, like a lot of it, far as we can tell, was recorded live and was very faithfully reproduced as opposed to being like sweetened or auto-tuned or something like that. Mm-hmm. Which is such a they're diametrically opposed values because, there are pictures of Judi Dench in a full-on like green screen suit.
Yeah.
Like, you're okay completely faking all of that.
Yeah.
But you're going to keep the voices exactly the same?
I think it's like, just, it's like, you don't go to Cats to hear, like, oh, some raw, deep, emotional singing. Like, even Memory, right, which is raw,
which
deep, and emotional, it still needs to flow nicely as a melody. It doesn't work if it's broken up with like
you're not going for
sobs.
That like very musical theatery, you know, I am speaking through my word sort of sound.
Yeah, not at all. Like it's the music of it is just really
lyrical and
good.
High fluting and
so that was another gripe because I just felt like, again, if these people are new to this show, even if they don't know the music at all,
right,
this isn't going to sell them on the music.
Right, exactly. You're not, it's not like, and that's an album I would need to go listen
exactly.
to again.
Like vocally, I mean, I don't know what was good. I wasn't like, oh, that is a standout. Because even with Jennifer Hudson.
Do you know, I will counter that. I very much enjoyed Ian McKellen.
Oh, yes.
And he did that. Like, he acted through his song 100%.
I mean, I wouldn't mind an Academy Award nomination for Ian McKellen. I genuinely, it was so good. And I don't know whether it was just because everything else maybe wasn't as good.
Sure.
That I was like, this is knockout. But I was, like, emotionally charged.
Mm-hmm.
I was along with him for the ride.
Yeah.
He was very method. Did you know... That they went to a cat school.
I read a tweet from Taylor Swift about this.
Yeah.
Yes.
So apparently in cat school, Sir Ian McKellen...
They made them poop in a box.
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
I'll just check my notes. No.
Okay.
That didn't happen. No. So Sir Ian McKellen was very method about it. And
he did poop in a box.
Potentially. Actually, let me just check my notes. Yes, he did. Yes.
That's slander.
No, and he would really like react to the other cats, and he's like, "If you haven't charmed me, I will hiss at you. I will not just rub my nose on you, you know." And I think that comes across nicely in the film.
I agree that it comes across nicely in the film. Are we sure that Ian McKellen doesn't just hiss at people he doesn't like normally?
I don't know. I mean, like, you can kind of see that he's having a great old time.
He's having a great time,
right?
Yeah,
because to be fair, right, when you're like. An RSC trained actor.
Yeah.
When do you ever get to be a cat?
Right. No.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like we all want that at some point in
something
our lives, don't
fun
we?
And a little wacky and not like a serious thing or like a super villain or a superhero.
Exactly.
You know, or Gandalf or whatever. Like
no, he gets to be a little cat, a little kitty cat. and.
Liza, don't keep those cats waiting.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody's got to turn off this lamp. Oh, Liza, we're going to miss cats. chance. Oh. I think the viewership of the SNL clip of Liza Minnelli turns off a lamp has doubled in the past 2 months.
We can
mostly
only
from
hope.
My household.
Oh, okay, fair.
If you haven't seen it, it's an SNL sketch where
that's
the
fair.
Conceit is that Liza Minnelli needs to turn off a lamp so they can see cats. It's a whole. It's very.
It's great. It's groundbreaking.
It's funny. Jokes it's are funny when you explain them.
Yeah.
Did you know that's the first rule of comedy? You explain
the joke
as much as possible.
Yeah, even before you've really.
Yeah, here's what
about
you do.
What
here's
is.
What you do, and this might spoil this.
Also,
for
this
you.
Is kind of explaining a joke. Explaining a joke.
That's kind of the conceit of our podcast too.
Exactly. Can I talk about hissing?
I don't think anyone's going to stop
I've
you.
I've made a note about hissing here. So in my particular viewing
of hissing,
of the movie.
Got it.
We had lots of hecklers. I wasn't very happy about it.
Did they hit? Oh, wait, did people hiss at the screen?
No. Okay. That would have been...
That will happen in the Shadow Cats.
The Shadow Cats. No, basically, and this goes right back. We're taking it right back.
Sure.
Okay? To the beginning. They weren't welcomed in, so everything was weird, right?
Right, and so any you're moment, adversarial.
Any moment where they kind of did like the cat nuzzle thing, or did the hissing, they just like guffawed in laughter, and I was like, to be honest, it's not that weird. Like they are being cats,
but the conceit is that they're supposed to be cats, and that's why it's
weird. Exactly. But no, but it's not to the point of like this is so stupid. I'm like, what else have you been watching that this is the thing that you draw the line at? Do you know what I mean?
About
the cockroaches had faces.
That's the thing about the whole movie is like the moment you think you've drawn the line, you know, Andrew Lloyd Webber's like, nope, boop, and like kicks it.
Yeah, exactly. But so that was the thing. And I was just, because like, again, in the stage show, they do that all the time. And it's actually quite beautiful the way that they interact with each other. And it's really smart.
Sure.
And they do the exact same thing in the movie.
Yeah.
It's actually executed really well.
Sure, like technically.
Yeah. And suddenly that's the thing that people
But
are like,
I think
no,
it's off-putting
like it.
In the same way that like there's a really ambiguity about like what nuzzling means. Cuz like, you know, Mephistopheles and Victoria like maybe fall in love at the end.
Yeah, they do some nuzzling.
Like, they have some nuzzling, but then immediately Victoria has like equally essential nuzzling with Judi Dench and great for the cats and maybe that's what this is all about and like that's the subtext that I don't understand. But like
they're a tribe. I mean, like,
you know, like
that's what being a Jellicle cat really is all about.
Never coming to London.
No. so that just kind of it upset me a little bit because I was like, oh, you're never gonna get this,
right?
Like, you're never gonna be on this side because you're just too alienated,
right?
Right?
Yeah.
It's which one is it? Is it Ver from Dunk's Effect, or is it? Guess I'm no. I think it's Ver from Dunk's
I don't know.
Effect.
I ditched a lot of theater history in college. So
the alienation effect.
Got it.
Right?
Yeah,
that was instigated from the get-go because they weren't welcomed
in, unintentionally. So
exactly.
Yeah.
So it literally all goes back to
that very
Victoria
beginning.
Being thrown onto a step and them singing at her and not singing at us. Because right, even this is like the pen is down.
He's
again.
Leaning back in his chair. Put his pen down.
Yep.
Pen tracker is out there.
Even at the end,
the pen is down.
Right?
Uh-huh.
With Judy.
Deuteronomy
addressing us and, as you say, staring into our souls.
Staring in deep into my soul. I don't know what I did to disappoint her.
I loved it.
Really?
I loved it.
I found
because I was just like, this is so sweet. Like, this is so lovely. And the song, like, the addressing of Cats, the song, is just a good old-fashioned, like, denouement finale. Like,
yeah,
we've had
sure.
the... We know she's gone away up to Heaviside. Like, we're all very happy.
And it's
what
like,
do
you
do
get
now?
It. This is what cats are. You see cats. They're like you.
Right.
Here's how you deal with cats in your life.
And like, it is funny. Like, to see a cat as not a dog, we're not thinking, like, oh, wow. Oh, this is so... This is deep.
I was, but I live in Colorado, so that might be for different
fair.
Reasons.
So, I don't know. So, I was like, this is just lovely and sweet and wholesome and funny. Like, it's really cute. And I think that tone at the end, if that was the tone of the film.
Yeah, that kind of earnestness.
Yeah. I think we would have been fine.
Yeah.
I think we would have been absolutely fine.
And maybe they should have Cats 3.0 when they re-release it for the theaters.
Well, so here's the thing. We have an announcement, everyone.
Yes.
Tommy and I.
We've been Cat. No.
Yeah. Tommy and I will be directing Cats 2.
She's back.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the subtitle.
It's like the new Grisabella. Who is she? And what will she become? Is she going to fall in line with McCavity?
No. You have to be so careful because I think you just did it.
What are Jim and Tomic predictions?
Because, like, I can see
it. I'm not opposed. And if someone wants to hire me to direct film.
No. Andrew Lloyd Webber has done, like, America's Got Talent searches for, like, the next top whoever in the shows that he's done.
Yeah.
But Cats is also about, is, like, basically the next top Cats.
Yeah, okay.
Is it going to be, like, some weird meta, like, High School Musical,
London's
the musical, the Cats,
Jellicle,
based on the novel pushed by Sapphire Cats? Like...
Yeah. Hang on. Let me just take all this down.
That was a lot of words. Do you want me to say it for you again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Based on the... No.
Yeah. I think I would be fine with that.
Like, search for the new Grisabella or whoever?
Totally. I mean,
are they going to be Cats the whole time? Because I think that's what it needs.
What?
Cats 2, : Cats the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. That is exactly what's needed.
Excellent. I'd watch it. Yeah. I would absolutely watch that.
For sure. Hey, we need to wrap up. So, let's try and answer the question that you asked at the start.
Yeah, did you like it? Because you said you did. I don't know if you said you...
I didn't. I've not yet committed, and I think is the moment.
I want you to stare deep into my soul like Judi Dench did.
Yeah, okay.
And I'll stand behind you with a big puppet of your face.
Yeah. I did.
You did?
I did. Yeah. I really liked it.
All right.
I want to see it again.
I definitely want to see it again. I would see this movie a lot.
I wonder, is this podcast going to change everything?
No.
Okay. Good. I think that's a great note to leave it on. Thank you.
Oh, man.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you
for
much.
Coming.
We got to plug some things. Broadway Podcast Network is our podcast host. They're awesome.
They are incredible.
BPN.fm. There's a ton of podcasts there you can listen to, including ours. But
yep.
Many of you do. Thank you for coming.
Yep. Feel free, if you're not already, follow us on social media. We are at Jim and Tomic, and also follow Broadway Podcast Network at Broadway Podcast Network.
Dun, 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 bum, dun, bum, dun. Thank you for coming. And I think if there's one thing we must remind people.
Yeah?
It's that a cat sometimes wears a wedding ring. Good enough?
It does.
Thanks for coming, everyone.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
I don't know what you do at the end of these, but yay!